When I was looking through my files, I came across this vignette that I had written many years ago. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. As I was snuggled in my tent, anticipating the excitement of the day to come, and half asleep, I heard something that sounded like footsteps. No, more like animal hooves. Several sets. They were coming closer, moving in the direction of my little tent. We were camped in a cove. I woke myself up and crept to my knees and peeked out the corner of the flap of the tent. We were on the edge of the lake. An eerie mist lay across it. The water was as still and looked like the glass of a mirror. The sun just peeking its head above the hills. I peered to the right and saw trees. I peered to the left. My mouth fell open. They were only 15 feet away. A huge cow moose and 2 calves. Probably in their usual routine, I was the intruder. I was the uninvited guest. The mother chomping steadily on the grass in the edge of the water as she nurtured the young life that was suckling their breakfast. I was frozen, sat motionless, breathing ever so quietly, hoping not to be detected, and yet filled with excitement. The wonder, the beauty of God's creation, like a morning fantasy. When morning gilds the sky, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Well, I wrote that on a trip that this church sent me on, up the Allagash in Maine. And there were children of people in this room who were with me. That was before you were even born. But this church had given me the task of enlisting young people to go on trips up the Allagash in the summertime. Those were some incredible days. We had a great big trailer back there with held canoes, and we had a room downstairs that was our place to store. We spent the whole year preparing, having dinners and car washes and fundraisers. And yes, I took neophyte, inexperienced campers that I met sometimes in the parking lot here during the week that were overflowing from the high school, and kids who were part of our youth group, and went 200 miles away from any civilization. What was wrong with me? Those were some incredible times. And I know Jimmy Jacobson was with us, and Ann and Todd Freeman, and Buddy Hickey, and who else?
Not me.
Not you. That was before you were even born.
David Anderson,
others that have... Well, those were incredible times, and those memories still linger. And in particular, what a reason that I thought about this was when I was looking at the scripture, Matthew 8, that even the wind obeys him. Because there were other parts of the trip where, in fact, we did get caught in the wind and had to figure out how to get Six canoes turned around and off back to the shore to be safe. And we were in the wilderness. We carried all of our food with us. None of this fly in the guide with the fancy steaks and all of that. We had all of the food we could carry. If the boat went over, the food went down. It was quite an experience, and an experience of faith, learning how to live and be a community together in our small community for those weeks. I came across an article recently about why millennials are leaving the church. This was written by a woman who was in her mid-30s and talking about what it is about the church for her generation that doesn't seem to connect and what are they looking for. And she makes the point that there's an assumption among Christian leaders and evangelical leaders in particular that drawing 20-something people back to the church has something to do with edgier music and casual services or having a coffee shop in the fellowship hall. Or, she said, some people think it's the pastor wearing skinny jeans. I can tell you, it's not going to work for me.
No, it doesn't.
Or maybe it's an updated website. But she goes on to talk about that really, it's not that at all. It's not a change in style that people are looking for as much as it is a change in substance. She said they're looking for an end to the culture wars, a truce between science and faith. They want to know what they stand for, not just against. They don't want predetermined answers. They want to emphasize an allegiance to the kingdom of God, not about political perspectives or anything else. They want all of their friends to feel truly welcome in the faith community. They want to live lives of holiness. They want to be peacemakers. They don't want to go around with business as usual just to stick around. They don't want the church just to be cool. Because what they long for, she said, and I thought this was so profound, what they long for deep down is what we all long for, is an experience of the presence of God and the presence of Jesus in their lives. This is what millennials are looking for, she said. An authentic experience. That's what made me think about that time on the Allagash. Because we had stripped away all of the things. Of course, we didn't have the cell phones in those days.
Thank God.
But we had simply removed ourselves from all of the daily distractions and focused together on living together as a community of faith and experiencing the beauty of God's creation. And it's turned out to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, probably for most of us, to have experienced those wild animals 15 feet from my tent. It was an experience of learning to pray real quick. We left Malden, drove 12 hours all night, started our trip. Mind you, these are kids that we had together. We had had one practice session out at Groton for about an hour trying to figure out how do you paddle a canoe.
And Mom had me.
And then here we were faced with the wilderness. It truly was an experience like none other. We read the scripture, the biblical stories. We hear those authentic experiences of how people interacted with Jesus. We call them miracle stories, really. Jesus out on the Sea of Galilee. And at one point I got to go visit there, too. So I can really picture what was happening. This lake in the bottom of what seems like a basin or a bowl, and the winds come over, the strongest winds of any place in the country, or in the world, they say. And they can come up instantly. So Jesus, with his 12, weather changes suddenly. We know a little about that, don't we? One day it seems nice, the next day not so much. We call that New England, right? Well, apparently it happens other places, because within just a short few moments, the wind came up, the seas roared. Jesus calmed the water. And they were amazed. He calmed the wind-tossed sea. In other stories, we learn that he commanded the demons to be silenced. He made those who were sick well again. He fed multitudes of hungry people. He had compassion on those who were not desirable in their society or their culture. The miracles of God, the power of God, the demonstrations of that power over the forces of this world that otherwise would keep us from knowing God's love. But then suddenly God's love breaks into our world, into our lives, and touches us in a way that proclaims God is not dead yet. He is alive. He has been raised from the dead. Jesus' earthly ministry, demonstrating this incredible power over the circumstances of life. In these days, we think a lot about power, don't we? We hear about power on a political level, and we hear about power on a military level, and we hear about power between different groups of people. We hear how people strive to use and abuse power. And then we are reminded that Jesus can stand and look and hold up his hands and calm those waters. His mighty power, a glorious triumph. Our faith has a sure foundation. Our faith is never in vain. Christ lives that we might live. God gives us hope and peace and the power to move and grow and live our lives in the fashion that God has called us to. We can face danger and we can overcome those odds with the power of God. When we were on the Allagash, we faced real danger. And if I had known now what I knew then, or how does that go? If I knew then what I know now, if I could remember now what I knew then, I don't know that I would have done what we did. Because it was pretty much sight unseen. We were living by faith and a little bit of ignorance. But God guided us. It was challenging. The force of nature was amazing and incredible. When we ran the rapids, I have to tell you, we didn't know what we were doing very much. And the rangers fortunately had convinced us to ship our belongings ahead in his truck, because three of the four canoes did go over in the rapids, and we had to figure it out. We took a group of greenhorns, myself included. Even though I had experienced camping, I was not experienced in this level of camping. We had people who did not know how to cook meals. We had to learn how to cook meals out of the things we brought with us. We had people that had never really related closely to one another. But by the time the trips were over, the bond of friendship and love for one another was amazingly profound. I can remember one of the girls who really had never experienced anything like this. I don't think she had ever been away from home. And it was her job, because we assigned jobs, to get supper on the table. Oh, that was an experience. I don't know how. I've never done anything like that before. We worked together. We taught her some things. Within 2 days, all of a sudden, she was cutting wood, building fires. She was ready for any activity that we could give her. And her confidence just began to blossom. When God stands before us, even the wind obeys. Christ's power is in us. It strengthens us that we too might perform miracle after miracle in our lives and be filled with His peace and appreciation for all that God has created in this world. We gained an appreciation for living as a community of people. We ventured forth with courage and confidence. We created deep bonds of caring and love and gracefulness and acceptance, and learned how to forgive each other's mistakes, because guess what? All of those meals were not very good. But they kept us nourished. Indeed, when God was present with us, we experienced the miracle of God in our lives. In unusual kinds of ways, Christ has made Himself known to us. In the incredible beauty of this world, which we so often miss, in the joy that we share in our relationships with each other, in the power of prayer, when we pray one for the other, whether it be healing or celebration or strength, we venture forth triumphantly and gloriously with the ability to face those things unknown, even at times the dangers we did not see. So I have this imagination that we are all in canoes together, and that we are on the lake, and whether it's the still, calm sea of the morning or the rustled sea of the wind coming across, that God's power, mighty power, His triumph glorious, gives us the strength to overcome whatever comes our way, the challenges of our life. That's what people are seeking. They want to know that Jesus is in our lives and that God is at work in this world through the power of His Spirit and the power of His love. That's what the millennials are telling us. Forget the skinny jeans. Just show me the love of God.
And the love of daughters.
And the love of daughters. And let us pray together. Oh God, You are all-powerful. You give us strength. You give us hope. You give us the ability to live in triumphant ways. Help us to discover Your presence in our lives and be renewed this day, and to recognize Your power greater than the wind and greater than all that can get in our way. Grant us the calm breeze of Your loving Spirit and the confidence to live life, that we indeed can triumph through faith. For we ask it through Christ. Amen.